So I'll be, George gave an overview of the thin flux tube model of our emerging flux, and I'll be focusing on some of the recent multidimensional simulations of rising flux tubes in the solar interior and their emergence into the solar atmosphere. If we believe that the magnetic field we've seen in sunspots and solar active regions are coming from the base of the convection zone, is coming from the toroidal magnetic field at the base of the convection zone, then we must address the following basic questions concerning magnetic flux transport from the bottom of the convection zone to the surface. How does toroidal magnetic field at the base of the convection zone destabilize and form buoyant flux tubes? And how do these buoyant flux tubes rise in a reasonably cohesive manner so that they be organized in active regions which show remarkable order as described by the Hill's polarity rules and Joyce's law? And finally, how do active region flux tubes emerge into the solar atmosphere? And I'll first talk about this topic and then the first and the third. One of the major findings in the recent multidimensional simulations of rising flux tubes is in the interior is the effect the role twist plays in the dynamics. Twist helps is important for maintaining cohesion of buoyantly rising flux tubes. Several two-dimensional simulations of the buoyant rise of horizontal flux tubes in the convection zone have shown that a minimal amount of twist is needed for the cohesion of the tube. And the required twist is such that the Elfin speed of the azimuthal component of the magnetic field should be larger than the rise speed. Or if you express in terms of the pitch of the field line, which is defined as the angle of field line rotation per unit length along the tube, then this should be greater than this value where HP is the pressure scale height and A is the radius of the tube. 3D simulations of arched tubes show that they may require, the required twist may be reduced for cohesion. And on the other hand, if the twist is sufficiently large, then the flux tube is subject to onset of the current-driven kink instability. And this criteria is derived by Linton. This figure basically illustrates the basic result from the 2D simulations of buoyant rise of horizontal flux tubes. This is just one of the many simulations. Thierry has done the first calculation, one of the first ones. Basically, shown here are the evolution of the tube cross section. If there's no initial twist, purely longitudinal field, then we find that the tube breaks up into two vortex tubes with opposite circulation, which move apart horizontally away from each other. The initial rise of the tube quickly stops, and final asymptotic behavior is that these two vortex tubes move apart horizontally at a steady speed. The tubes are still buoyant, but the buoyancy force is balanced by the hydrodynamic lift experienced by the translating vortex tubes, which is downward. If, on the other hand, the initial twist is above the critical value, then we find that the generation of vorticity within the tube by the initial buoyancy force is suppressed by the azimuthal component of the magnetic field, and the most of the flux of the initial tube rises as a rigid object through the stratified fluid.
What quantity is flux?
What? Oh, it's the longitudinal component of the magnetic field intensity. Abbott et al. Examined fragmentation of buoyant flux tubes in three dimensions. And in these calculations, he starts with an initial horizontal tube with prescribed buoyancy force along the tube so that they emerge into omega loops. And it is found that in this case that without twist or for weakly twisted cases, the apex segment of the omega tube still fragment into two vortex tubes. However, the trajectories of the rising motion of these fragments depend upon the foot point separation. The smaller the foot point separation, the stronger the tension force, the less the two fragments moving apart. It turns out that the tension force is reducing the vorticity or the circulation is acting to reduce the circulation within each fragment and therefore reduce their separation motion. In the other extreme of twist, level of twist, simulations of highly strongly twisted kink unstable flux tubes have also been carried out, and by Linton et al. In a series of papers, and Fan et al. Here is a simulation of the rise of a kink unstable flux tube through a adiabatically stratified solar interior, solar convection zone. And in this case, the initial twist is significantly supercritical, so that the growth rate, growth time for the most unstable kink mode is significantly smaller than the rise time scale. The flux tube is perturbed with multiple unstable modes, and the growth of the instability causes a sharp decrease in magnetic energy while preserving the helicity. And also the kinked flux tube, the axial field of the kinked flux tube becomes significantly higher after the kink development, and the buoyancy, there's a significant increase of buoyancy after flux tube become kinked. The flux tube rises and arches upward, develop into a very kinked shape with a large rotation at the apex. This large rotation might explain the reversed polarity order often seen in delta spot. Taking a horizontal cross-section of that kinked tube, we see a tight bipolar structure with sheared transverse field. The line connecting the two polarities of the bipole has rotated counterclockwise from the original east-west direction of the original tube orientation. So it's an inverted polarity order. The rotation or the tilt of the bipole depend upon the twist of the tube based on the helicity conservation. For left-handed twisted tube, the rotation or tilt should be counterclockwise. And for right-handed tube, it's the other way. So this will be a signature to test in observations. And Lydia has shown a case where it's not the case. Okay, with regard to the stabilization of toroidal flux at the base of the convection zone, one of the possible mechanisms is the magnetic buoyancy instability. Magnetic buoyancy instability of a horizontal magnetic field embedded in a vertically stratified plasma with constant gravity has been studied extensively in very many papers. And listed here, given here, are the conditions for the instability of the general 3D modes with non-zero wave numbers in both horizontal directions, parallel and perpendicular to the embedded field, and the condition for instability for the 2D, purely 2D interchange modes without bending the field lines. From this condition, you can see that the magnetic buoyancy instability can develop even the atmospheric stratification is subadiabatic or stable. Multidimensional simulations of the magnetic buoyancy instability and the formation of flux tubes have been carried out by many authors. And most of these calculations so far are still in in the local Cartesian geometry without taking into account the spherical curvature effect. Cattaneo et al. And Matthews et al. Have carried out a series of numerical simulations where they considered an initial equilibrium magnet layer that supports a local top-heavy density stratification at the upper boundary of the layer. And in this configuration, the most unstable modes in this system is the 2D pure interchange, 2D interchange modes, really Taylor type. The 2D simulations of these interchange modes show that strong vorticity forms, which quickly destroys the coherence of the tubes that form and prevent the flux from rising. Matthews et al. Extends that calculation to three dimension to allow variation along the field direction, and he found that the flux tubes that form as a result of the initial 2D interchange modes subsequently become unstable to a 3D motion as a result of interaction between adjacent vortex tubes. This instability is called the Crow instability, and the result is that the tubes becomes arched. More recently, we've considered a different initial equilibrium state for the magnetic layer, where the density stratification remains unchanged from that of a stably stratified polytrope, but the density but the pressure and the temperature are lowered in the magnetic layer as required by the hydrostatic equilibrium. So for this kind of a neutrally buoyant magnetic layer where the density is unchanged, the 2D interchange modes are completely suppressed. The only unstable modes are the 3D modes with involving undulation of field lines. And here listed here is a set of unstable modes plotted as a function of wave number along the field direction and for a set of different ky wave number. And you can see that the instability can only develop for sufficiently long wavelength this side and in order to overcome the stabilizing effect of the magnet tension. And the growth rates are on the order of 0.1 times the alpha speed divided by the local pressure scale height. And this figure shows the evolution of the magnetic layer perturbed by an unstable mode, undulation mode. And you can see that the layer breaks up into individual arching flux tubes. And the buoyancy at the apex of each of these tubes is found to increase exponentially with a growth rate that's consistent with linear analysis. The growth of the buoyancy at the apex from initial neutral buoyancy is caused by this downflow of material from the apex. This figure shows the evolution of the magnetic layer perturbed by a localized velocity field so that the formation of flux tubes is more isolated in space. And here, only half of the wavelength of the undulation tubes are shown, and the two panels show different perspectives. We can see that even the initial magnetic field is unidirectional without any twist. The isolated tube formed here is able to rise cohesively through the distance of about one density scale height included in the domain. And this improved cohesion in comparison to previous 2D simulations without any initial twist is because the buoyancy force, both the buoyancy force and the tension force grow self-consistently from zero, and the tension force is able to oppose the vorticity generation by the buoyancy force in the tube and prevent it from breaking up, at least in this stage. And we also find that the evolution of the magnetic field in the apex of the tube follows this law of rule of B over square root of the density. Basically, the alpha speed appears to be constant as a function of height. And this result is consistent with the thin flux tube simulation of the Parker instability of emerging omega loops during their rise in the lower half of the convection zone, where the stratification is nearly adiabatically consistent with the 3D simulation. Okay, so so far, you know, rising flux tubes have been considered a way of releasing the toroidal, flux immersion have been considered as a way of releasing the toroidal magnetic field from the base of the convection zone. But there is also the possibility that it's been pointed out by, you know, George's talk, and also has Parker is the first who, I think, pointed this out, and also Moreno Incertus, that emergence of weak flux tubes can actually be a mechanism for intensifying the submerged magnetic field, called the flux explosion or dynamic disconnection, different way of looking at it. And the basic idea is that weak magnetic flux rising through a super adiabatically stratified convection zone can experience, as it tries to establish hydrostatic equilibrium along the field line, there will be a sudden loss at some height of pressure equilibrium or explosion of the magnetic flux. And Rempel and Schussler have carried out a 2D MHD simulation to model this process. So the flux rises and the upflow, as a result of the loss of pressure balance, the upflow of high entropy material from the tube causes the intensification of the submerged field. And here shows the enhancement of the magnetic field strength. And in contrast to generation strengthening of magnetic field by differential rotation, here it's the potential energy in the stored in the super adiabatic stratified convection zone that's being converted into the magnetic energy. Okay, final topic I'm going to talk about is flux emergence into the solar atmosphere. And pioneering work in this area have been done by Shibata and his collaborators. Many work have been done in this area. Basically, the magnetic buoyancy instability is a mechanism through which he showed magnetic buoyancy instability is a mechanism through which magnetic flux reaching the photosphere can expand dynamically into the stably stratified solar atmosphere. And many 2D and 3D simulations of flux emergence into the atmosphere have been carried out with both tube geometry or layer geometry. Magara has carried out a 2D simulation of the emergence of a gold coil, a significantly twisted flux tube, from the top layer of the convection zone into a stratified solar atmosphere. The model atmosphere profile is shown here with a top layer of the convection zone and an isothermal layer photosphere chromosphere and the corona. The tube is in thermal equilibrium. It rises under its own buoyancy in the interior, and after it enters the atmosphere, the upper boundary of the tube shows the velocity at the upper boundary shows an exponential growth, and downflows of plasmas along the field lines. This is basically caused by the development of the magnetic buoyancy instability. He finds that as the tube enters the stably stratified atmosphere, the upper boundary becomes unstable to Rayleigh-Taylor-type magnetic buoyancy instability because a lighter magnetic fluid is supporting a denser plasma on top of it. And this development causes the expansion of the magnetic field into the atmosphere. Manchester 2001 carried out simulation of magnetic buoyancy instability of a sheared magnetic layer initially located at the photosphere level, and study how the formation of buoyant flux tubes that emerge into the atmosphere and the corona. And he found a shear flow develops in the emerging tube, with the left and right half of the tube moving oppositely in the longitudinal, the invariant x direction. And he showed that this shear motion is driven by the x component, the longitudinal component of the magnetic tension force, which tries to establish a state where the Bx is constant along each field line. And the result of this is that the initial field line orientation in the magnetic layer is at 45 degrees from the y direction. But as the field line rises, the emerged portion becomes more sheared relative to the submerged portion in comparison. And there is a tendency to transport shear from the magnetic layer into the flux rope. He explained that this shear flow driven by this shear Alfvén wave is the origin of the shear flow on the two sides of the polarity inversion line often observed in emerging active regions. Okay, recently three-dimensional simulations of emerging omega loops have been carried out by several authors. This is a calculation I did with the Zeus 3D code. An initially significantly twisted horizontal flux rope is located in the top layer of the convection zone. The flux tube is significantly twisted, but it's kink stable. And the atmosphere profile is shown here. This is the top layer of the convection zone. It's a polytrope, adiabatic stratum polytrope with an isothermal layer representing the photosphere and chromosphere and a corona above it. And the central segment of the tube is made buoyant by assumed thermal equilibrium at this segment, and the two ends of the tube is assumed to be in neutral buoyancy. So the flux tube rises under its buoyancy and expands. After it reaches photosphere, it expands into the atmosphere and the corona with exponentially increasing velocity due to the growth of the instability described previously in McGraw's paper. And we see that on the photosphere, the vertical magnetic field concentrated into the east-west corner, and the transverse magnetic field rotates from the normal configuration to inverse configuration as a result of the emergence of the concave field lines beneath the axis. And this red arrow shows the shear flow, the horizontal velocity field, which shows a shear with opposite velocities, oppositely in the on two sides of the polarity inversion line. This is basically explained by the previous paper by Manchester. So this simulation reproduced several features of this region studied by Strauss. Basically, the evolution of the vertical magnetic field seems to be similar to the line of sight magnetogram, although it can't explain these small scale features, and the location of field intensifications consistent with the location of the sunspots formation as marked by these contours, and the sunspots show, the line connecting the east-west spots show a tilt that's counterclockwise, about 11 degrees, anti-joy, but consistent with the emergence of a left-handed twisted tube. And there are strong downflows in the sunspots, which is observed. And the shear flow is in agreement with the shear flow in the emerging twisted tube. Okay, I'm almost done. And more recently, Magara and Lanko also did a simulation of emergence of an omega twisted tube. And in their case, the emerged section contains fewer rotation of twist. And they found similar behavior on the photosphere in terms of the evolution of the vertical magnetic field, this concentration of sunspot, formation of intensification of field at the east-west corner, and the shear flow patterns. Furthermore, in the atmosphere, they found the axis of the tube rises high into the corona level, and that the field lines, those field lines with foot points that are located in regions of strong current, evolves into this inverse S, have show this inverse S shape, which can explain the X-ray sigmoidal structure. And they interpret that these field lines are most likely to be heated because they're rooted in the strong current region, therefore they will tend to lit up like and be consistent with the X-ray sigmoidal structure. Here is a Abbott and Fisher and the Msula-Murie group have been developing a merging the Zeus code with the paramesh so that to develop a Zeus code that has adaptive mesh refinement capabilities. And they did a simulation of flux emergence into the atmosphere driven by interior calculation of a rising flux tube. And this is a work in progress, and there is a poster in the hallway on this. So, in conclusion, clearly, many progress has been made in understanding the process of flux transport from the bottom of convection zone to the top, but many, after we look at the observations, we know that the picture is far from complete. First, in the area of subsurface evolution of interior rising flux tubes in the insular interior, I think spherical geometry and the effect of solar rotation should be included in the studies of the stabilization of toroidal magnetic field by the magnetic buoyancy instability, because the length scale of those instabilities are on the global scale. And what observation shows that many active regions emerge twisted, and what is the origin of twisted flux tubes? That's not clear. And effects of the Coriolis force and effects of convection should be included in simulation of rising flux tubes. Some initial work has been done by Dorch and Abbott, and also in terms of the effect of Coriolis force, some initial calculation has also been done by Abbott et al. Finally, in terms of flux emergence into the solar atmosphere, the energy, one of the major problems I think is right now is the uncertainty in the energy equation. So far, the calculations of flux emergence, 3D simulations of emerging omega loops, we've shown previously, has assumed adiabatic evolution of the emerging flux, and the adiabatic expansion causes unphysically cold loops in the atmosphere. On the other hand, it's been shown by Spiegel that the photosphere, chromosphere, in this level, the thermal relaxation timescale due to radiative exchange is much shorter than, it's less than a minute, and smaller than the timescale for flux emergence. So clearly, adiabatic evolution is not a good approximation, and some heating, there could also be heating mechanisms, not ideal heating mechanisms, that's heating the emerged loops. Furthermore, interaction with pre-existing coronal magnetic field will be important in the dynamics of emergent flux. And ultimately, we want to couple interior calculations with rising, with the flux emergence into the atmosphere. So that's all.
Hey, Sasha.
In your example, when you studied the twisted tube
and then three branches emerge.
Yes.
It looks like they will nurture the sun north, south, not east, west.
Right. They
what
pretty
about
much.
The direction?
That's yeah. They pretty much the flux vertical. The line of sight magnetogram shows that would show a north-south oriented
right.
flux distribution.
Do we have such things?
What?
Do we have such things?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's try to explain this Strauss observation where it the actual region actually has this shape where it's north-south oriented, but there are sunspots are forming in the corner.
That's just one kind of emergence.
Right. Right. Yes, that's of one special kind.
Tom, do you think it's a general rule of thumb that these finite size rising
loops
try to conserve their
Alphane
speed?
It's, yeah, if it's a horizontal flux tube, then rho over B over rho should be constant. And because of the draining and the stretching of the field lines at the apex, actually what happens in this case is that it is B over rho square root of constant. But
is there a physical principle that explains that?
It just happens to be the rate of draining happen. Given adiabatically stratified atmosphere, it seems to be right for adiabatically stratified atmosphere. In a thin flux tube calculation, it also shows this in the most part of the convection. But when it reaches the top, when the stratification becomes very super adiabatic, the decrease becomes faster.
Yeah.
Can you say again your comparison with the Strauss? My impression is that your modern equation seems to be much more twisted than Strauss equation.
Yeah, actually, true.
Right. So is it possible to reduce the number of twists in your model to explain?
Yeah, in fact, that calculation later on, but also, okay, not later on, but about the same time, they did, is having fewer terms of twist. Although actually the initial twist in these two, the interval of twist are the same, but it's a shorter emerging segment, so it involves fewer terms of rotation.
You're saying you think that if you did the same patterns, of that would look closer to Strauss's active region? Then?
Yeah.
Peter?
What? Speeds do your rising loops to wind convection
go achieve?
How fast are they going up
the top? If in a thin tube calculation, it can reach 1 kilometer a second at the top layer.
How about
pardon?
How about finite?
It's. How should I get that? It's a fraction of Alphin speed. Alphin speed.
How?
Alphin speed. I mean.
Start
it depends on the. It's basically a square root of a divided by pressure scale height times the Alphin speed. That's then when A gets big, it starts to approach Alphin speed as it initially it's a fraction of the Alphin speed, but then it speeds up.
I always thought that elicity had to be conserved, which means that if you twist in one place, it has to anti-twist somewhere else. How do you manage to increase the elicity? Twist and elicity are similar.
I don't quite understand your question. What is the?
Well, helicity is supposed to be conserved, right?
Right.
And twist is the same as helicity, I think.
It's a component of the helicity. Yeah. There's also
so
writhing of the
axis. If you increase the twist in one place, you have to have an opposite twist someplace else.
Right.
Are you asking about the initial conditions, how these flux tubes got twisted?
But she's talking about an increase in twist as these things erupt.
No, I didn't see increase of.
No, she can still.
Just saying, the corona is causing the
grown up. It just looks different.
Spiro?
In these simulations of the highly twisted flux of emergence, it looks like a fair amount of flux
space travel to the Earth, because of course you have all the new structure, right?
Right.
So both your simulation and that's your simulation. But then you have a problem when you say those with this, with the active region, spreading apart, diffusing, and eventually disappearing. How do you get rid of all this flux that's trapped down below? I mean,
your results are quite a bit different. Quite a bit different than the picture, let's say, that George is showing of the thin fluxion model, where you have the whole fluxion goes above the into the corona. And then you can see how that thing can just kind of eventually fray and fall apart. And this one, you've got these all these connections in the high beta region. It's hard to see how you're going to get rid of them.
Yeah, in that case, it's hard to see how to get rid of the. But in this calculation, they show that with smaller. Well, there's still some flux in their calculation. Well, trapped below the surface, probably not in a dynamic scale. I don't think that probably some kind of reconnection will take place to get rid of the mass that's anchoring the bottom of these U field lines. Some.
Of course, you can also try the simulation with a much lower twist.
Right, I'm trying.
There's no problem. You probably have almost no.
Yeah, I'm having problems when I do lower twist case where I develop few lines that develop a dip at the center.
That's no problem.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Quick question, Eric, and then Thierry. Eric.
Yes, clearly the nature of the instability depends very much on what equilibrium profile you put into your model.
In the disturbance in the toroidal field at basic convection zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And are you saying then that the profile that was used later that gave the undulatory instability is a more realistic profile?
It's unclear. See, what state, thermodynamic state, are these toroidal field in? Is it in near neutral buoyancy or is it near thermal buoyancy, which would give you a different density profile? So then different kinds of modes will be excited, depend upon the initial profile. It's not clear, but there is a recent simulation by Rampel and Schussler, which studied equilibrium state. How a band of toroidal field, they actually did it in the spherical geometry, how a band of toroidal field is relaxed to an equilibrium state if they were initially not in mechanical equilibrium. And they find that as long as this band is infinite in size, it tends towards, and if it's in a weakly, okay, it's different in a strongly subadiabatic radiative interior from that in a weakly subadiabatic overshoot region. In a weakly subadiabatic overshoot region, the band of the field tends towards a state which is near neutral buoyancy. The material, if it's initially buoyant, it rises and to a different height and becomes neutrally buoyant, quickly loses its buoyancy.
But I mean, also presumably you need to have a situation where the tube actually is stable for a long time as you're building up the magnetic field,
right,
until you reach a threshold beyond which it becomes unstable.
Exactly. Actually, the configuration considered earlier with the density inverse, that's much more unstable configuration in comparison to the neutral buoyant state. The growth rates of the modes are, the one is this one, the for the 3D modes, it's on the order of the pressure scale height divided by the alpha speed. That's the growth time. For the other cases, it's dependent on the thickness of the layer. It's the gradient, sharp gradient of magnetic field that's giving rise to those interchange modes. So I don't know, maybe you say that the other state is more likely to be in. I don't know. So.
One last one, Thierry, before we go.
As the tube is rising, the density in the head of my tube is going down, the tube is expanding.
Right.
And with the influx of approximation, there's this problem that even with the infrastructure in the 3D world here, we cannot account for the observed intensity at the moment of the emergence. Begin with the 500,000 gauss down there, if you can only reach 100 gauss. So do you see an improvement with the full 3D simulation about that problem?
No, I don't think that problem's been solved, addressed, resolved with 3D.
This isn't a requires physics for convective collapse.
Yeah. The field rises, the beta.
So another
the beta is not changing as it rises.
Is the stretching
Yes, it is the same. Initially, in the lower half of the conventional, that's exactly what I was showing there. The variation of field with height.
B over rho
square root of rho is about approximately constant. That's the stretching rate, and it's
same
for both, right? But in a thin tube, actually, eventually, when it reaches the very super adiabatic layer, it actually starts to drop even faster.
So the conclusion is that you still need an intensification.
I think you need more physics to get intensification. I mean, you need to include the convective collapse to concentrate field to be equipartitioned with the thermal pressure.
Okay, well, let's thank you, Hong. 1:30